All right, welcome to the show. I'm Realtor Tyler Robb, and with me is my co-host and mortgage expert, Paul Duick. Each week, we look to take you behind the scenes of the real estate world as we discuss buying, selling, mortgages, and pretty much everything else in between. Without further ado, let's get into another episode of the Selling Houses Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Selling Houses Pod. And today we are going to talk about home maintenance and what to do if you don't want to maintain a home. You don't feel like doing any of the responsible items.
You slob.
You have options. Paul knows all about maintaining a big old house. Say he's like our living case study.
Yeah, it's funny because Ty and I talk and I often have questions for him. And it's one of those things where I've always been blessed to have family that gives me advice and helps out like with home ownership. Like ever since I bought my home, like at 24 or whatever, things to do, whatever. But like when you buy a home, it's not like someone's sitting there walking you through everything for your first 3 months. Like, so for me, I moved in and obviously during my home inspection, the gentleman like told me things to look for, told me things to do, but you move in and all of a sudden you're shopping for furniture and then you forget to change the air filters. Right. And so stuff like that, but definitely a whole list of things I'm learning to do and they're super important, and putting the time in up front can save you money down the road for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. And home maintenance is a big thing for me. It's something that I stress a lot too during showings. And when we're looking at homes, we look at how has the home been maintained throughout the years and things that the sellers are going to have to do, which definitely comes into play when you're looking at properties like the one that Paul bought, which is a rural property. You've got extra things that you got to pay attention to. You've got septic systems. You've got well water, water softeners, iron filters, all kinds of different extra things that come along with a property like that. Yeah. So home maintenance is something that you really got to be willing to do and put the time into. And I've heard it before too from folks who know or think they know what they're getting into when they're buying these bigger homes or these acreages, only to have 2 or 3 years later turn around and be like, you know what? Like this is like a part-time / full-time job maintaining this place, like cutting the grass. And cutting the grass sounds so trivial, like, oh, it's just cutting the lawn. And it's like, no. Nope, you need like a big ass tractor and you need the time to do it. And even with a big tractor, like if you have to cut 2 acres of grass, that's like a whole day, like goodbye Sunday or whatever day it is that you want to do it, because you're going to be out there. And, you know, I've been told the novelty wears off pretty fast. It's cool to be cruising around with a beer and, tunes going. And after a while, it's not so fun.
No, but you're not wrong. And I know you kind of not warned me, but gave me some advice even when I was shopping, and just know, Paul, there's going to be more things to think about. And I'm very grateful we made the choice. So I went from I think it was a 1200 square foot bungalow, 1265 or something, to double the size, like 2500 square foot bungalow on 2 acres. I was aware of the things that I had to do, but not really, you know, like in the first,
it sounds easy when it's in a little list, right? It's like, filters and this and that.
Well, and I bought a 21-year-old home, right? And so I left a 23-year-old home. And so there's things to do. There's things that need upkeep. And I think the folks that I bought from spent a lot of time at their cabin. So there's a lot of things that they weren't even using at this house that now I'm using them, and now maybe they're dripping or this or that, right? Like different faucets and different things that, you know, my biggest achievement this month, other than having a phenomenal work month, was replacing a shower head. And I
got the tools out, eh?
Okay. Yeah. I get it. I should have just hired someone, a plumber, but I was like, hey, I'm going to tackle this. I'm a country man now. Right. And, you know what, Ty? I probably called you every single time I went to Home Depot or Rona, but I went and got replacement O-rings. I went and ordered a new cartridge. It didn't fit. I went and got a new shower head. It didn't fit. Finally, I ran into this gem, Bob, Home Depot plumbing aisle, found me in the rafters a demo model for this cartridge that fit my 20-year-old fitting. And
nice.
Installed it myself. Shower works phenomenally. Now, if any expert came to my house, they'd say, oh, the angle of your lever isn't really like the direction it should be. You know what I mean? Because I put it back on. I'm like, hey, Courtney and I can figure it out. Up for hot, down for cold. So it's fun. Yeah.
You know what? Good for you, man. You know what? Those are the kinds of things that you can do on your own around the house. And honestly, I feel like those are the kinds of things that you should do on your own around your house, because there's a sense of pride that comes with it. But there's also, hey, like now you know what's going on in that wall. Whereas, you know, like, yeah, you can call and hire people to do pretty much anything, and some people
For
have to
sure.
do that. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of benefit to knowing what's going on in certain rooms and things in your house.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to do as much as I possibly can, but also understanding your limits, you know, like when you're over your head.
Well, you know, and while I want everyone to solely listen to the Selling Houses podcast, I listen to a few other podcasts, and there's a guy that interviews just people in different career paths. And so he interviewed like a border guard, a police officer, a mortician, a plumber, a disaster relief specialist. And it's pretty cool. I love listening to this stuff, but
Yeah, that sounds pretty fascinating.
yeah, oh my goodness, like some of the things that these guys see, right? Like some rural Alabama mortician where there's no coroner, and you know, cause of death has clearly just been, you know, of health issues, not anything nefarious. And so they just say, hey, coroner, come pick up, you know, the body at 2 in the morning or whatever. But anyway, just the stories. And but you hear these people about how passionate they are about their careers, and that's what excited me, right? And what a lot of them allude to is oftentimes they go in there to fix the jobs that the homeowners, for instance, tried to do themselves. And they're
Yep.
kind of like, man, if the client would have just paid my upfront $200 fee, it would have saved them 2 grand, but they messed it all up, right? So you, like Tyler said, there's things you can fix yourself, and there's things that you should just hire out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Which, you know, a little teaser, we do have an episode coming up. We are going to make it happen. It's a renovation special.
Yes.
It's probably going to be a little bit longer than our average episode, but we're going to talk about jobs that you should DIY and jobs that you shouldn't. Which ones are going to get you the most value for your home when they're finished? Ones that you definitely need to hire out and things like that. So keep an eye out for that. But today, this is a nice segue into the next chunk, something that we haven't really talked about on the show before. And it's something that is definitely unique. It's got its own little world compared to other things when you're buying or selling, and that is condominiums.
Right on.
So buying a house comes with a lot of maintenance. And if you're somebody that does not want to do the maintenance, you're like, you know what? I want to be able to just kind of live my life, kind of like I'm renting, but I still want to own it. You could buy a condo.
I'm laughing. No one else is going to understand why I'm laughing. But the second you said that, you just want to live your life, a song just popped into my head from like the 2009. Any chance, any guess 2010, what it would have been? By who? Rihanna, Live Your Life. It was like Rihanna and like maybe T.I. or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a
And
little
it's like
outside
a,
my genre scope.
sorry, buddy. Yeah, I mean, I've just heard about it. I never listened to it, but anyway,
Sure, sure.
it's like a hype song. It's like, just live your life. Yeah, maybe we'll put
I'm gonna have to
it
look it up
on
now.
the outro. No, we'll get demonetized. We're not monetized, but
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
yeah.
So yeah, so if you want to just live life like you're renting, but you want the benefits of owning something, you could buy a condo. For anyone who doesn't know what a condo is, it's a piece of property that you purchase that is part of a condominium project. Typically, they're like apartment buildings, but not always. Detached condominiums do exist. They look just like a regular house. They're typically built in little communities. So you'll have a bunch of homes that all look kind of the same in a nice little, sometimes gated, kind of on one street sort of thing. And those are condominiums. And typically, when you buy a condo, so sticking with the fully detached ones first, you're never gonna have to cut the grass. You're never gonna have to shovel snow. Depending on how the condominium corporation is set up, a lot of stuff is taken care of for you. And you know, all you got to do is kind of just live in the house and maintain the basics. Everything outside is done for you. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat. It's you know, I have a lot of even like young professionals or whatever that live in like downtown, right? And they can just walk to and from work, no maintenance fees. Sorry, obviously there's maintenance fees in the part of their fees that you'll talk about, but it's not like they have to go buy a lawnmower, get it serviced every year. Like the thing that drives me crazy about home maintenance myself is I love doing the actual tasks, but I hate all the prep and all of the yearly things, right? Like, oh, I didn't like properly prepare my snowblower for the summer, and then you know what I mean? Like you
Yeah.
do that
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
stuff,
Don't get me
or
started with snowblowers, man. They're the most temperamental machines in the planet. Things piss me off.
Yeah, those things, and then even like your lawnmower. It's like if your garage or your shed isn't heated, and then it sits all winter, and there's bad gas in there, and
Oh,
then
yeah.
just that stuff. Like so, but yeah, there's some things that like just take the stress away from home ownership and just literally go to and from your job and not have to do too much maintenance. There's some nice things to be said about condominiums.
Yeah, and that's kind of probably would be the stereotypical condominium that everyone's thinking about is like a high rise or an apartment building kind of style where you're basically, it's like an apartment, but it's a condo and you own your own little unit and it's your space, but you're part of a bigger project. You purchase it. And that's the thing with buying a condo is you're buying into a business when you purchase a condo. So if you're someone who has been thinking about getting yourself a condo, the allure of them is, the price point is much lower. Typically, you can still buy really expensive, fancy ones, but on average, they're going to be a lower price point. You're going to be able to get in there, smaller down payment, that sort of thing, than a detached house and get yourself, owning some property nice and quick. They're good for rentals too. People will buy them and then rent them out. But when people call me and say we want to look at condos, the first thing that we do is we book a meeting and we talk about what comes with condo life because it is a condo, like buying a condo, it comes with its own lifestyle. It's something that is definitely different from living in your regular detached home. And it's something you got to be prepared for because it's not the same as everything else. So I guess the first thing you got to understand is that is the business aspect of it. You're buying into a business. So when you're looking at condos, you have to like the space, you have to like the unit, of course, but then you also have to like the condo board and the condominium project that is responsible for running the unit and the building and everything that comes with it. Big part of that is reserve funds. So every single month when you own a condo, you have condo fees. So in those condo fees, a chunk of those fees go to what's called the reserve fund. The reserve fund is a pool of money that everyone pays into, and they use that money for major expenses like the roof of the building needs to be, resealed and refinished. Who pays for that? Because remember, you own your own little unit inside of a much larger building. So you own a percentage of that big building, and that building, just like a house, needs to be maintained. Now, you're not going to get up on the roof and be like, oh, it's Johnny's turn to reseal the roof. Get up there, Johnny.
Irene, get out of your walker and climb on the roof. But I can't see. I don't care. Pull the
It's your
shingles.
turn.
It's your turn.
Someone's got to resurface the parking lot. Get out there. So that's why there's a condo board and a condominium corporation
Sure.
that takes care of these things. So the board is made up of people who run the entire show and they make the decisions on what needs to be done and how the money is spent basically and when it's spent. So when you buy a condo, you got to look at that stuff and be like, how much money is in the reserve fund? And that has to be provided. We're not going to get into reserve fund studies and all. It's so boring. But basically, you have to be told how much money is in the reserve fund when you're looking at the condo so that you can know, okay, so this building of, 150 units has a reserve fund of $75,000.
Oof.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, boy. I would look at that and go, that's not good. That's not a lot of money for a really big building. You
No.
want to see a nice, healthy number in there. So, and there's some like that because for a long time, boards weren't properly funding the reserve funds, or they were spending them incorrectly.
So what I was gonna say is, where do your clients see this data? Like, how do they know when you're looking at a bunch of properties? How do they know? Oh, just by looking at the pictures, we love that picture. They don't know anything about the reserve fund, about any of those details until they do what?
Yeah, so when your realtor has access to all that information,
Up front.
so basically when we pull the listing, we have all our standard information about the property, but then for condos, there's like an extra section that talks about parking stalls and reserve funds and storage units and all the extra stuff that comes with a condo. And to be totally honest, I'm not sure if I'm just pulling up a map here on realtor.ca. I'm not sure if the reserve fund study and stuff is actually shown on realtor.ca. So I'm gonna check right now. So just bear with me, folks.
Yeah, like Tyler mentioned, I really like the way that he thinks. He's mentioned in the past with past clients, like, not only do you like your initial unit there that you're purchasing, but you're buying into a business. Like, it's a really cool way of thinking about it, because there's going to be decisions, and when you have a partnership and you have other business partners, you can't always make the decisions on your own. So you have to come to a consensus with your partnership, right? So now when you're buying into a condo building, you have other people that you have to make decisions with, right? So it can be a different scenario.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just looking at one here real quick on realtor.ca. So the reserve fund study and stuff is not shown. You can see the condo fees, which they have as maintenance fees. But yeah, so you won't have access to that kind of stuff, but your realtor has access to it. So while you're in the unit, we can talk about those things.
So two things to talk about. We know that there's monthly maintenance fees, condo fees that, like you mentioned, cover stuff like snow removal, vacuuming of the main areas, whatever, right? Security systems, whatever they all cover. You can get into that maybe. And then some, I know some listings where it'll say, oh, the monthly maintenance condo fees actually include the heat, the hydro, or they'll say they include the water. Now they do not include property taxes. That's something that people often ask me. They do not include your individual property taxes. But there's two things that you're talking about. Like that's the kind of details that I've heard are accessible clearly on listings. But I also thought that a lot of those details to do with like the reserve fund and the more financial details. I thought that those mainly came with the big condo docs, which I'm sure you're going to discuss.
Yeah, we'll get into condo docs. So the details of the reserve fund are not included on even on my side of things. All I get is a total. Like current balance is this,
Of the
and
reserve.
that's of the reserve fund.
Okay, cool.
That's what I get. So I can we have a ballpark, right? So we can say, okay, yeah, reserve fund
Nice.
study. I just looked at one yesterday. It was like $510,000. Smaller building. I'm like, that's a nice, healthy reserve fund. Got $500,000 in there. That's good. The details of the study and stuff would come later with the condo docs. So, but condo fees and property taxes are something that's really, really big because condos look really enticing. Like the one that I pulled up here in Winnipeg, $259,000. That's pretty affordable for most people. Love that. But on top of your mortgage payment to pay for that condo, you also have to pay for condo fees. And maybe, Paul, you can get into this a little bit, but this one has condo fees every single month on top of your mortgage. $370. So you have to pay on top of that. So when it comes to getting an approval for a mortgage, so say I come to you and I'm like, hey, Paul, I like this condo for 259.
Right.
How is it all looked at and considered?
That's a great question and something that's often misconstrued or misunderstood. So when I give someone a pre-approval, this is the way it basically works. And I've always stated this, the pre-approval is only as good as the person that puts it together. So you're going to get different pre-approval numbers from a lot of people. They should be relatively the same. But when I give you a pre-approval, I look at the client, I look at your income, I look at your monthly debts. So do you already have a car loan? Do you have a student loan? What are your obligations? And all of your obligations can only amount to a certain percentage of what you make per month. So banks and lenders and don't want you taking on more debt than you can handle compared to your income. So when I tell folks, all right, you're pre-approved for a home purchase of 300,000, what I've done is I've taken 300,000, they're putting 5% down. So it's, less 15K. That puts them at 285 for a mortgage because there's CMHC insurance. That 285, we add 4% of it for the mortgage default insurance premium. So now their mortgage is for like 296 or something like that. So their mortgage is 296. What I've also done is I've looked at their monthly debts. I put an estimate for heat. So I have to use roughly between 100 to 150 bucks a month for heat as a cost, as a monthly liability. And that's dependent on the square footage of the home you're buying. But the lenders typically will use 100 to 150. And then I have to put in a guess at what property taxes would be. So if someone's saying, if I've done the math and you're right around 300, I will estimate what property taxes for that price point are. And let's just say I put them at 3,300. Now I've pre-approved that person for 300 grand. Now I say, look, if you're going to look at condos, the number's going to change because now we have to add, sure, you're maybe paying less than 300K, but now if you're paying 280 for that condo and there's $500 a month condo fees, it doesn't work because if that condo fee doesn't include hydro or water, I have to include the hydro payment. I have to include the $500 for condo fees. I have to include the mortgage payment. I have to include the property taxes.
So
Now
it's
on
like a
a
separate like debt line.
yeah. So for instance, house 300, maybe condo 270. Like that's there's two pre-approval numbers in some cases.
Gotcha. No, that makes sense. And that's good because like it's a and condo fees can vary substantially.
Oh.
There's some out here in Oak Bank, $150 a month. Then there's some in the city, $700, $800.
Yep.
And it all depends on what they include, right? So, if you're going to be doing a lot of the the luxury items yourself, your condo fee should be less. But if you're in an all-inclusive building where you really don't have to do anything, you just pay your mortgage payment, those fees are going to be a little bit higher. Nothing's free, right? It's all just moving
Right.
money around, right? So yeah, I've seen condo fees that do include your internet and your cable TV and your water and your heat, all depending on how the systems in the building are done. So that's huge. And then often forgotten about is some folks think, well, we don't have to pay property taxes because it's condo and there's no actual property. Nope, still have to pay property taxes. That building sits on land, so the city is going to take their taxes for it. So they take that big bill and they divide it between all the units, and you have property taxes paid. So in most instances, the property taxes on a condo will be much less than on a detached house. For the one I'm looking at right now on the screen, $2,100 a year. I would say that's pretty average based on what I've seen in the city. If you want a house in this area where this condo is, it's in the east side of Winnipeg, probably going to be high threes, low fours for property taxes. So.
No, and it's and a rough rule of thumb I tell people when I'm pre-approving them, I usually use like, I don't know, 1.15 times the purchase price to kind of guess what the property taxes are going to be on a lot of properties. So, and it's tough because and I'll often inflate it because I don't want to ever like quote you lower. So on a $300,000 home times 1.15, you know, that'd be, you know, gross annual taxes of 3,450, which, you know, maybe that's high, but if I've pre-approved you and I used 2,000 for property taxes, you know, and you buy a house that's got 2,900, well, then you'll get declined. So yeah, I always estimate more, but yeah, just keep in mind there's pros and cons to everything, right? And then, and you know, lenders, and you ask Tyler, like, you know, how does it impact financing? Well, some lenders want to actually review all the condo docs, and Tyler, maybe you can get into condo docs first, and then I'll explain
Yeah, no, for sure.
why a lender would look at them.
Yeah, so when you purchase a condo, it's a very different animal compared to purchasing a house. When you buy a house, you write your offer, the offer is accepted, you remove your conditions. Congrats, you bought the house. With a condo, you write your offer, the offer is accepted, you satisfy your conditions. Then the seller must provide you with condo docs, which pretty substantial amount of paper, several trees will die. They send this to you to review. And once you get them all, it starts what's called the 7-day cooling off period. People would love if there was a 7-day cooling off period for houses, but there's not. It's only for condos. Now, this 7 days is your opportunity to review these condo documents because it's not realistic to think that you can properly understand everything that comes with the condo you're looking at when you're putting in your offer. If you're in competition, you might only have a day to decide whether you like it or not. And to fully understand all those documents, it's not enough time. So you get a cooling off period to review all these documents. You're looking at the rules of the condo. You're looking at the reserve fund study. You're looking at everything, special assessments. What a special assessment is, by the way, is if there's an issue with the building that kind of comes up out of nowhere and it's outside the scope of the reserve fund study or what the reserve fund is meant to be used for. So, for example, there was a building that I showed. We learned afterwards that there was some structural concerns with the building, and it was deemed to be the fault of the builder, or the builder decided it's no, it's actually the fault of the city. So there's a legal battle going on. Meanwhile, all the tenants who own a small part of this building that's now structurally unsound have to pay for a legal bill to figure out this dispute. So now everyone's going to get a bill for like $6,000.
Wow.
So that's a special assessment. And as an owner of a condo, like that's something that can happen because everyone shares everything. So basically, what's going to happen is depending on how this all comes out, those tenants could be getting a big bill. So the cooling off period is your chance to review all of these things. And if there's something in there that you don't like, you can back out of the deal, no questions asked. You get your deposit back and you're back to shopping, looking at a different condo. There is no way to get rid of that cooling off period either. Some folks will say like, hey, I'm good. I know the condo. My friends lived here, you know, whatever. It's fine. I just waive it. You can't. You have to go through it. 7 days of torture for the seller because they're sitting there just going like, is this going to go through? You can literally back out for any reason.
Well, and it's funny because some lenders, first off, some clients, like you kind of mentioned, were like, yeah, I know the condo, no big deal. Well, I find a lot of people don't read their mail, don't read their email,
Yeah.
And you know, don't look at the AGM minutes each year when the board meets and the condo board and they release their reports. Like in there, there'll be often like you talked about, like in the next year to 2 years, what are the projects we have to do to upkeep this place, right? And so there'll be the meeting minutes and anyone can look at them. And like you mentioned, some of these condo documents, this package can be 200 pages, right? I don't know, more.
Absolutely.
I've seen
Massive.
nowadays it's all, I typically just do everything I usually see is a PDF form, but a lot of people, a lot of clients, you know, don't even want to look at it. And I think even a lot of like actual owners of these condos probably don't look at it or read them. But what I would say is I still will read through them myself, and especially the meeting minutes, because that's where people will talk about things that are issues or things that could be upcoming. And then and sometimes there'll be like engineers reports where they'll say, yeah, like the parquet is unstructurally sound, you know, we recommend in the next 5 years a full replacement, which could be $1 million, right? I don't know. And
Yeah.
so if you're not reading that stuff, you know, 3 years later you could be like, oh shoot, I didn't, now there's a special assessment, like a cash call for each unit needs to come up with $30,000. And if you didn't know that was coming down the pike, like that's a big bill to foot, right? Some lenders will look through the whole booklet, the whole document, and they
Yeah.
will highlight stuff and be like, I don't think these clients have $6,000 left over after this purchase. It says here next year there's going to be a cash call of 10 grand. You know, it's taken these clients 10 years to save up 6 grand. Will they be able to stay in the condo? So that's happened.
Yep.
I do know some lenders don't even ask for them. So, you know, depending on what they show and depending on what the clients want. And so, anyways, just something to think about. Even if you like the property, doesn't mean the bank likes it, right?
Yep, no, for sure. And the other thing too, if you're somebody who's like, well, shoot, you know, I don't understand big documents like this. It's intimidating when you get them all, even like it is intimidating. It's a lot of paper, it's a lot of fine print. And it's not a page turner. Like
Oh, it's boring.
you could not find a more dry document to read. So the other thing you can do is you can pay your lawyer to do it.
Huh.
You can have your lawyer review your condo docs for you. You got to trust your lawyer and give them ample time. Make sure that you know you discuss this with them ahead of time and say, hey, would you consider reviewing my condo docs for me? And they'll say, yeah, I can, or no, I'm too busy. And you could do that.
It's a
But yeah,
big
your
decision.
agent should go through them with you, and you know you should also go through them. Thing is, I always say to people is like, remember, like I've picked out the things that I think are noteworthy, but I'm not you. So it is up to the client at the end of the day to read those documents. It's their
Sure.
purchase. You know, it's like when you go buy a vehicle, right? The salesperson's going to highlight the key features and the key things that you need to know as a vehicle owner, but you know, he's not going to stop and say this vehicle requires 7.2 liters of this type of oil. No, that's a detail that you need to figure out as the vehicle owner. And I think when it comes to condos too, like the agent's going to point out all the noteworthy stuff, but you still have to have a vested interest because this is your purchase. It's your business that you're buying into. And I think the weight of the purchase is something that is lost on a lot of people. They don't realize, like, holy crap, I'm buying this building. Like, it's kind of like you're becoming a bit of a landlord in the sense that, like, if this building needs some major repairs, like you're part of the group that has to foot the bill. So keep that in mind too. If you're looking at buildings that have like smaller amounts of people in them, you know, these fourplexes or these that sort of thing. If you're looking at a condo like that, it's a big building, you've got a lot of space, that's great. But now it's the cost of these big things divided by four instead of 12.
Right.
So
Okay.
those special assessments could be higher.
Well, and I would say too that, you know, it's very important to like and budget and but and budget, right? Like budget for things, and you know there's going to be costs in a single family home, like a detached home as well, right? So some of these costs that happen with the condominiums, you know, sure they could be a bigger chunk at a time, but when you own a home, you know, a detached home, there's going to be maintenance costs as well. And so, you know,
Yeah.
whatever you want, whatever the client wants. And sometimes they ask me, Paul, is like, is this too high for a condo fee? I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm like, that's something that, you know, what's it worth to you, right? What's the luxuries of that building worth? Do you want to have a concierge that, you know, welcomes you every morning and security on hand and like a pool and a gym? Like maybe that is worth it to you, right? So it's the client's choice what they're willing to pay.
For sure. And we've gone a lot of doom and gloom here on the bad stuff about buying a condo, but there is some good stuff as well. You know, like Paul says, like it comes with luxuries. It's, and that's what I mean by it's a lifestyle. It's not, oh, we can't afford a house, so we're gonna buy a condo. Like you have to want to buy a condo because it's a completely different way of living. Like you say, like you have different amenities, but you pay for those amenities. So it's not like they're just included. The benefits to buying a condo are, you know, some of the fees are a little bit, the overall cost might be a little bit lower as you get a new building or something like that. You know, you don't have to worry, it's a little stress-free, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about cutting grass, shoveling snow, any of that stuff. A lot of them have, you know, underground parking, so you never have to worry about your vehicle being outside or plugging it in. So some nice little luxury items for sure. Some of the other pros, like I've got the market pulled up in front of me. The condo market is very interesting, but there's always inventory available. So one big benefit to someone who wants to go purchase a condo is, and I'm not gonna say never, but a lot of times we don't have to worry as much about bidding wars, and you know, there's only one just like it, because when they build a building, typically there's 10, 20 suites in a building. I'm just going off this photo I'm looking at here. There's about 24 in this building. It's a newer building, and they're all similar. So if you go after one and there's only one for sale, well, another one might come up, you know, in a little bit, or chances are there's more than one for sale in the building. So you don't have to deal with bidding wars. You don't have to deal with such a crazy market, and the purchase prices are a little bit lower. So right now, the average price for a condo in Winnipeg is $271,000, and every single month, you know, there's about 100 sold every month over the last 12 months. You know, in the summer, if you go in June last year, 211 sold in the month of June. March there was of this year. Sorry, we're in March, February. There was 107 sold. So there's a lot of inventory, a lot of similar units, especially like if one building doesn't have it, you can almost find the same floor plan in another unit. So some benefits to buying a condo there too, but the biggest thing to worry about would be your reserve fund, your condo docs. Make sure you're properly
Right.
reviewing all of those things. You know, your pre-approval is going to be a little bit different.
And you know what, you mentioned, I hope we didn't come across the to start the pod, you know, with a doom and gloom, but there are a lot of really positive aspects to condominiums, especially ones that are run well, and the luxuries of it, and the just the convenience, and so that there can be really good fit for individuals that want that. And I would also mention, you know, every market's different. So we're obviously based in Winnipeg, Manitoba here, and you know, condos in different cities, like you look at Toronto, look at Vancouver, like there's much, like this is sort of like a more localized look at condos here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it is.
And yeah, like, and you know, you could talk a bit about resale, right, if you like, on when it comes to condominiums, but I don't know if you want to touch on that, but I know it's a bit of a different ball game with inventory compared to single detached.
Yeah, definitely. So typically, I mean, if you've got a detached home, you're going to be bringing it to market and you're going to see a nice sizable return if you've had it for a few years. Condos, a little bit different. You know, like most real estates, it should appraise year over year, but I'll say that it's different. I find it very hard to put a rhyme and reason on the condo market, especially in Winnipeg. It's not as cyclical, it's not as predictable as the detached market. So depending on the amount of inventory available, obviously supply and demand is going to have the biggest effect. But I'm just pulling up here real quick the number of sales over the last 10 years and the average sale price over the last 10 years. And over the last 10 years, so if I go back to 2014, the average sale price of a condo in Winnipeg was $240,000. It has gone up. 10 years later, the average sale price is $278,000. So it's only increased by 3%. Now I'll say the biggest jump is 22, 23, and 24. From 2014 to 2020, it was flat. Condos did not appraise. You basically could sell it what you bought it for. Now, that's very general speaking. I'm not really diving too much into it. And then the number of sales, you know, 2021, we saw a big spike in the number of sales of condos. Gee, I wonder why. It's almost like a whole bunch of people didn't want to live in buildings with other people anymore.
Yeah, go
Right
figure.
after the pandemic, right?
Right.
So a whole bunch of them went up for sale. And on average, every year, about 1,500 condos sell in Winnipeg. In 2021, 2,220 sold. So it was an extra like 700 condos. And then every year since then, it's been declining, you know. So then 2022, there was only 1,800. And then 2023, there was 1,600. And then, you know, 2024 will probably be back down to that 1,500 average again, with the number of sales going. So if you're thinking about selling your condo, don't expect to see a massive return. You're not going to make 100 grand on it. I would say that they're a long-term investment. If you live in a condo right now and you want to move to a house, I was renting out your condo.
It's one of those things too where and some people have talked about, and we can talk about this, but just how it goes with you know, now that interest rates have kind of increased over the last few years compared to when a lot of people were buying condos 3 years ago, and maybe the interest rate was 1.79, 1.89%, and the payment was X, and you know, they factor in, all right, you know, we want to leave it, and you know, the mortgage payment, the property taxes, the condo fees, you know, basically to get someone to pay rent for that condo, you know, at a 1.79% interest rate, maybe the math works. But now when you're renewing or buying a new condo at 5.6%, now maybe the cash flow isn't there for buying it as a rental, right? So there's lots to think about, but stuff that we can always discuss for sure.
So everyone, that is kind of the bird's eye view on condominiums. It's not there's a lot of like circumstantial things with condos. So it's kind of hard to do a full podcast episode where we cover everything you need to know about condos. But I think we kind of did cover everything you mostly need to know about condos. At least the top layer of it to get your feet wet. And if you're going to look at condos, I'll say this. Make sure that you talk to your agent and ask them, you ever sold a condo before? Do you do condos? Is this your thing? Because they are different. Even if they haven't, just make sure that your agent knows what they're getting into with condos, because some agents don't touch them, and some love them. There's people that's their whole business is condos, and there's other agents that just won't go near them with a 10-foot pole, just because they're it's a different type of work. They are a lot of work. There's a lot more documents, a lot more time. Showings take a little bit longer because you're trying to find lock boxes, and it's fifth floor, first floor, returning keys, the whole thing. So, anyways, that's it for this week, folks. Just a nice, probably quick, who knows? This could be an hour, but a quick episode on condos and home maintenance. And we will see you next week.
Thanks everyone for listening. Looking forward to next week's episode. Have a great week. And like always, please reach out with any questions, comment on the pod, let us know what you want to hear about. And we are happy to bring out more content every week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
If you've enjoyed the show, remember to like, comment, subscribe, and share it with your friends and family.
Our goal is to bring you a fresh episode each and every week.
I'm mortgage expert Paul Duick with Castle Mortgage.
And I'm Realtor Tyler Robb with Royal LePage Prime, and this has been another episode of the Selling Houses Podcast.
Just a reminder that while this show is meant to educate you, it should not be taken as advice for your specific situation.
That's right. Always consult a professional in regards to your real estate needs so that relevant advice and information can be provided.